McGavin stars as Kolchak, the Night Stalker. And now, Darren McGavin in the Night Stalker.
Welcome to the Late Night Fright Horror and Sci-Fi Movie Podcast. I am Dan.
And I am Faith.
We would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Whether this is your nighttime, drive time, or anytime podcast, maybe it's your private time podcast. We don't want to know.
No.
We don't want to know. You can send pictures to latenightfrightpodcast@gmail.com. No. Hello and welcome to all. We really are glad you're here because we have a really good movie tonight. And we have two good movies this week that we're talking about. And they're a little related, aren't they, Faith?
They are.
If they were paying attention in the beginning, they might know what tonight's movie is.
They might.
Would you like to clue them in?
Well, it has something to do with a Night Stalker.
It might actually be The Night Stalker.
It just might be.
This is a really good one. This was a television movie that's premiered on Tuesday, January 11th, 1972. That is 50 years at the time of this recording.
God, you know, that didn't even occur to me when we were watching this. 50
years old this thing is.
God.
Doesn't feel like a 50-year-old movie, does it?
Not at all.
This was the ABC movie of the week. It was based on the Kolchak papers by Jeffrey Grant Rice. The teleplay was by Richard Matheson. Richard Matheson has been mentioned on this show several times, and it turns out Richard Matheson is one of my favorite writers, and I didn't even know it. He is responsible for I Am Legend. He is responsible for your favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone, including Nightmare at 20,000 Feet and Steel. Steel was turned into a movie called Real Steel, starring Hugh Jackman about 10 or so years ago. I think it's been that long. He also wrote some pictures for Roger Corman. This movie was directed by John Llewellyn Moxey. He is responsible for the movie City of the Dead, a.k.a. Horror Hotel. It's late. It's the graveyard shift here on the Late Night Fright. City of the Dead, a.k.a. Horror Hotel, starring Christopher Lee. Some of you may have seen that. It's a very, very good movie, and this was produced by Dan Curtis. Who is he? He's the man responsible for Dark Shadows. That's right. The series they based the Tim Burton, Johnny Depp film on. That was a soap opera, and that had a vampire.
Is that interesting?
That's interesting.
A little bit.
He's also responsible for a great TV movie called Trilogy of Terror. Trilogy of Terror, if you've never seen it, you need to check that out. We have a good cast here. We have a really good cast here. We have Darren McGavin. He is most famous these days for his role as the father in A Christmas Story. He was also the father in Billy Madison. Billy Madison, a favorite of ours here on the Late Night Fright. It's not even a guilty pleasure.
No.
It's just a pleasure at this point.
Yes.
We have Simon Oakland playing Vincenzo. We have Carol Lindley, Barry Atwater as the villainous vampire. We have Kent Smith, Elijah Cook Jr., Claude Akins, and Stanley Adams also makes an appearance. You know, Elijah Cook Jr. and Stanley Adams, they share some credits in common, and one of those credits is the original Star Trek TV show.
Oh, okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Yeah. I like Star Trek.
Me too.
You like Star Trek?
I do.
Yeah. Who doesn't? This was the most successful TV movie at the time of its release. It led directly to a sequel a year later called The Night Strangler. It also led to a short-lived TV series, Kolchak, The Night Stalker, that ran from 1974 to 1975. If you'd like to watch that, guess what? It comes on MeTV. It's also available on the Sci-Fi app. Most importantly, this television movie and this whole Kolchak franchise, this is the daddy to the X-Files. This really set the stage for the X-Files. Chris Carter is on record as saying Kolchak was one of the biggest inspirations on that series. Darren McGavin guest starred as Arthur Dales, the father of the X-Files. They wanted him to play Kolchak, but he declined, and rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
So, rightfully so. So here we have a story of a reporter in Las Vegas. He is tracking a series of murders, and it occurs to him that the murderer is a vampire, and he does this through facts. He does not have a conclusion in mind beforehand. He arrives at this through investigation and facts. So the facts lead to the conclusion. He does not have a conclusion and uses facts to support his conclusion. We're going to get to that. There's something I really want to talk about with this movie that I think is very, very important, especially in the times that we find ourselves living in. Mm-hmm. But let's get to it. What did you think of this movie? This was a first-time watch for both of us, and I had heard nothing but great things about these two films because we're going to be covering The Night Strangler later this week. I've seen several episodes of the TV show. I'm very familiar with Darren McGavin. Kind of have an idea of what we're getting into as we get into this. What did you think of The Night Stalker?
I was very surprised at how much I liked this. It doesn't feel like a TV movie. And then again, it doesn't feel like it's 50 years old. It still like it holds up so well.
Very, very, very well told, very well done film. This thing, when they saw the finished product, Dan Curtis, I believe it was, I read, said that they should have released it as a feature film because it was that good and
yeah.
I think would have done very well. It got a limited release in Europe in theaters and did big business.
Yeah, I mean,
it's that good. It's rooted in classic horror. Mm-hmm. It's got that vibe to it. It's got that universal vibe to it. What I like about this movie and what I think works best is the character of Carl Kolchak. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Kolchak. Kolchak used to be riding high. You get the idea that Kolchak ruffles some feathers. Darren McGavin wears this seersucker suit and the straw hat. And I read that he said when he was thinking about this character and what he would wear, I think they tried to put him in like a Hawaiian shirt, you know, and maybe like Bermuda shorts, you know, kind of real laid back. And he said, no, this guy bought a nice suit back when he was riding high in New York City, and he hasn't bought one since.
Yeah.
So he's rumpled. He's disheveled. He's kind of prickly, grumpy, but he's also very funny and he's very relatable. What did you think of Carl Kolchak in this movie?
I liked him a lot. He feels very, like, I don't know, he feels real, I guess.
I don't think this movie works without Darren McGavin in it. I was thinking about this as we were watching these films, and there's something about the generation that Darren McGavin came out of. DeForest Kelly from Star Trek, who famously played Dr. McCoy, and men of that generation, there is a certain something about them, and it's because of the time that they grew up in and the things that they were experiencing as young men, you know, the world, World War II and all this. And you see it in William Shatner's performance as James T. Kirk in Star Trek. There's a warmth and a humor and a real sense of groundedness. Is that a word? Groundedness?
Sure, it is now.
But a real manliness. There's a real manliness. With that said, the thing that I like about the character of Carl Kolchak, and Darren McGavin plays this so well, is that as on it as he is and as quick-witted as he is, he gets scared, and he's not afraid to play the scared.
Right.
And I love that about him in this movie. There's really a lot of great stuff going on here. He runs up against bureaucratic mentality. He runs up against it in the form of the city fathers, for lack of a better word, the chief of police, the DA,
mm-hmm.
and very familiar faces. Claude Akins plays the sheriff. He would go on to play Sheriff Lobo in the series BJ and the Bear. Don't laugh because I just said BJ and the Bear. Kent Smith was in the second season of The Invaders. Kent Smith was famous for a film in the 40s called The Cat People. He's a very familiar face. If you ever watch old TV, you see these guys. They pop up. They have those faces, you know. And Kolchak runs up against, you know, the bureaucratic mentality, and it's frustrating. And you feel his frustration with that, too. What you feel is he's right and they're wrong. And I don't know the times that we find ourselves living in. I don't know. I'm not going to say it. But, you know, there's been a lot of people who've been saying, you know, things that are getting reported in the media and being fed to us by our governmental, quote unquote, authority figures. Well, that's not right. And they double down on it, which they do in this movie, and they screw him real good. We're going to talk about that because I think that's important, too, to one of the big themes in this movie. But there's a real sense of frustration. This is coming out in 72. You know, Nixon's president. We've got Vietnam going on. We're really starting to question authority at this point. And, you know, rightfully so. You should question authority. That's just me.
Exactly.
That's just me. I mean, you know.
I'm with you.
George Carlin famously said, "I don't trust anything that my government says." And I think he said the media, too. What I really like about Carl Kolchak, though, is he's an honest reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He is an honest reporter.
Yep.
For all of the shenanigans kind of around him, he is at his root.
Right.
An honest man and an honest reporter.
It feels a little, you know, uncommon these days.
It really does feel a little uncommon these days. As I was watching this, the quote about, you know, telling the truth is a revolutionary act in a time of lies came to mind. And I was really grasping on the Carl Kolchak because I don't know if you out there are like us, but for the past couple of years, and I don't just mean the past 2 years, going back to 2020 when the world just ended, you know, but I've been feeling this way for most of my adult life, going back to 2001, 9/11 was for me the big catalyst for it. And it wasn't exactly then, but as we got more and more into the Middle East and into the war machine that was and is the Middle East. And, you know, I saw my generation, you know, my parents' generation had Vietnam. We have the Middle East, people my age. And it wasn't so much that people were coming back in body bags. They were doing that. But I was noticing with that war, you know, there was a lot of loss of limbs. You see all these wounded warriors.
Yeah.
And God bless the men and women who were over there. And, you know, and made it back, you know, and I hate to see that, you know, I hate to see that,
I do too.
Especially when you're kind of diametrically opposed to the reasoning behind all of this.
Right.
But I went down the rabbit hole of starting to question reality, you know, and what is real and what is true and what we're being fed isn't exactly true,
no.
Is it? And you start digging, and you start asking logical questions, and you go, wait a second, you know, like, this doesn't make sense. So here you have this guy, and man, I've latched on to him because he's a sane man in a crazy world. He is a sane, sane man in a crazy world. Let's talk about the booger in this. We have Barry Atwater playing the vampire. He doesn't speak a word. What presence.
I know.
What presence. This guy has.
Yeah, it's always special when somebody can just be on screen and not even speak, and that says everything, you know? Like,
absolutely.
It's
amazing. They did a wonderful makeup job on this guy, and he really was terrifying. And
I
like the presentation of the vampire.
Me too.
It's kind of a classical presentation. I feel like it's leaning heavily on the Christopher Lee interpretation of Dracula because he's strong and physically, you know, he's a presence physically. Mm-hmm. And a threat physically, but he's also got that vampire thing. And I like the little thing too, like, you know, he's stealing blood from the blood bank.
Yes.
You know, he's in survival mode.
Yeah.
He's in survival mode. And there is nothing more dangerous than an animal in survival mode. And they do present him as an animal, which I think is a really unique touch. So really, really cool, you know, and then you get into the kind of seedy underbelly of Las Vegas with this, you know, and he's killing these women. And just, this is just a fantastic piece of work. Just a fantastic piece of work.
I like a lot of different things are kind of blended. It feels like a police, you know, type
police procedural
movie.
Right. A little bit. Yeah.
Then you got your reporter, but then you've got your horror. I don't know. It's like
you've got these, like, mystery thriller. You've got all horror, these, a little bit of sci-fi. Maybe not too much on the sci-fi, but still, it's out there. You know.
But all these elements are kind of blending, and they blend really good here. You know, I feel like you could have done a crappy job blending these, but it's so good.
You have a really almost kind of straightforward, you know, story about a reporter, but then you have this really interesting, you know, thing around it with the horror element, and it really works. I don't know, Faith. There was a show in the 90s that did this with some FBI agents, and I think
I
we really
that
liked
is.
That. I looked over at you as we were watching these movies, and I said, can you see the influence on the X-Files? Could you see it? I mean, you don't even have to really look for it.
No.
It's so good, but I think at the end of the day, you can take away the vampire. You could take away, you know, the stylized nature of this thing. But if you don't have Darren McGavin in this, I don't think it works. He's just got this thing about him. He just floats through this thing, and he's your guide throughout it. And he's the hero of this. And ultimately, he is the hero because he figures it out. Mm-hmm. And not only does he figure it out, he tells the authorities how to take care of it. And then ultimately, at the end, he's the one that has to take care of it. And he saves a woman's life in the process and kind of loses his.
Yep.
Let's talk about the end of this. Okay. Big spoilers here. He gets screwed. He gets screwed to no end.
Yeah, he does.
Carol Lindley plays his girlfriend. He breaks this story. He asks her to marry him. Things are going great for Carl Kolchak. They're going to print his story. Simon Oakland plays Vincenzo. We're going to talk about him a little more in the sequel, The Night Strangler, but he is a wonderful presence in this. He would go on to be in the TV show with Darren McGavin. He gets screwed. They put a murder rap on him. They tell him to get out of town, and they're not going to print the story. So what do we have? We have a guy who knows the truth, who cannot speak the truth. The authorities have told him he cannot speak the truth, and if he does, he will be thrown in jail for the rest of his life. I don't know. It kind of sort of reminds me of censoring on social media just a little bit. I don't know about you.
Yeah, a little bit.
And this is 50 years ago. Uh-huh. 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not a lot has changed, folks.
Nope.
Not a lot has changed. It's just a little more out in the open.
Yeah.
It's a little more out in the open. The other thing I want to say about Carl Kolchak is this is a guy who now has seen something. And he has seen the vampire. He has seen, like, the other side of things, you know. I love that about him, too. He's never closed-minded to the fact that it might be a vampire.
Right.
You know, skeptical. But once he starts getting the facts, he goes,
that's all
the
it can
facts
be.
Support the conclusion. I want to talk about that in a second. But he goes for it. This is what it is. So here's a guy who's seen it, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. So he's seen the vampire, and he's seen the bureaucracy, and the bureaucracy comes down on him really hard. So who's the bigger villain here? Is it the vampire or is it the bureaucracy?
The bureaucracy.
I go with the bureaucracy. The vampire is doing what the vampire does, you know.
Like an animal,
okay? The bureaucracy, though, they are protecting their own asses.
Seems very, very familiar.
They are not representing their citizens, because if they were correctly representing their citizens, wouldn't they have let them know so they could protect themselves from this thing? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, not a lot has changed in 50 years.
No, not at all.
A lot has changed. But I want to talk about something I found as we were getting into this. I've said this on the show before. I'm a huge fan and supporter of the Gaia Network. Mark Shaw was on George Norrie's show, Beyond Belief, and he was talking about the JFK assassination, and he was telling the story of a reporter named Dorothy Kilgallen, and she was kind of a big deal back in the day. I had not heard of her. Now, I am admittedly not the smartest man in the world. What? I don't know everything. Yeah, you know?
Are you sure?
But I had never heard of Dorothy Kilgallen. Why can I not get that out tonight? I don't know. It's late here on the late night fright. But she was killed. She was killed. She got very close to the actual truth of the assassination, like in the years directly following it, before Jim Garrison opened his case in New Orleans. And he was talking about her as one of the last truly honest reporters. And she was going to break this story. And they found out, they assassinated her. She was killed. Her death, wow, shrouded in mystery, you know, as they all are when you know something's going on. So it was interesting. I saw that, you know, Kolchak is fresh in my brain. And then I see this about this woman. And it's like, there you go. There you go. We talked about it on the Invaders episode. We opened up the year. We did the pilot episode of the Invaders. That's a really wonderful Quinn Martin show from the late 60s about an alien invasion. And one of the points we made in that episode is that six companies control all of the media that you own. So if you feel like you're being lied to or that there's an agenda, and listen, I'm not talking politics here. This is not this is not right or left. This is not that at all.
No.
I pursue the truth. You know, I think we all do or want to at least. But there's a massive psychological operation going on in the media, and they have a conclusion / agenda, and you manipulate the facts to support that.
Exactly.
And I think that's what's really refreshing about the Carl Kolchak characters, because here's an honest guy who is collecting facts. The evidence points towards this, and that's what it is. And he gets it in the end.
An
ending to this.
He finds a solution to the problem.
Right.
And takes care of it. Unlike right. a lot of things happening right
and
now.
And isn't it amazing that it takes a regular guy to take care of the problem that the police and the government can't solve? So I think there's a lesson here. I think there's a real lesson in this. But let's take away all of that we're talking about. At the end of the day, you know what? This is just a really great, fun movie with a great character. And a great story and a great premise and a great monster too. I really,
yes,
I really cannot say enough good things about this movie. If you haven't seen it, you really need to check it out. It's available for free. You can watch it on YouTube. You didn't hear that here. You can watch it on YouTube. Creature Features featured it a few months ago. They also featured The Night Strangler. Just a really great piece of 1970s horror and a great piece of 1970s television horror.
Yeah.
And a great look back at the television movie. Are you old enough to remember TV movies?
I mean, for the most part, I think so. I can't really.
They were a thing when I was growing up. They'd have a movie of the week.
Yeah.
And they'd do original movies like this. And they'd also do, you know, then you'd premiere like a big movie from a few years back, you know.
Right.
I remember the night Raiders of the Lost Ark premiered. You know, it was like it'd be a big deal, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of miss that.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that a little bit.
Yeah. This movie, though, I think this is, it doesn't feel like a TV movie. And that's nothing against TV movies at all.
Yeah.
It just feels like it definitely could have, you know,
yeah,
been bigger because it's that good.
I think it could have gotten a theatrical release. I think we'd be talking about it as one of the quintessential horror films. I think it is a quintessential horror film. I think you need to see it, especially if you like the X-Files and things like that. But this stands on its own, and I think it would have just killed if it had, you know, been released theatrically.
Yeah, I think so too. It's really good.
It is. It's exceptional.
It's very good.
This is absolutely exceptional. I love the way that it's told. You've got the voiceover. It kind of harkens back to film noir and detectives with the voiceover, and you've got the one and only Darren McGavin in this. And again, I can't see anybody else doing this. He's got that thing. He's funny. And he's charming and he's rough around the edges. And again, he's not afraid to play scared, you know, because he gets scared in this, and it's wonderful. Really good stuff. Really good stuff.
It's so good.
Check this out.
It's so good.
Check this out. Well, spring is upon us at the time of this recording. I don't know if you're like me, but I've been noticing a lot of pollen recently.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And it has brought with it bees. They're bees because
buzz.
Because the plants are mating. The plants are doing it.
The plants are doing
it. The plants are doing it as we speak right now. The pollen is in the air. So, well, we have a special guest news anchor tonight. We have a king bee.
Interesting.
We're going to get the bee's perspective on spring.
Well, okay.
I'm excited to hear. They have a lot to answer for, I feel. I feel they have a lot to answer for. And all of you out there with allergies, you know what I'm talking about.
Me.
You know what I'm talking about. The puffy eyes, the post-nasal drip.
Me right now.
It's true. There's an old jazz standard called spring can really hang you up the most. It can. It can knock you down.
It can.
It'll knock you down.
It's become one of my favorite seasons, though. I don't know
why. Spring is lovely.
I used to hate spring because of my allergies, and now I'm like, you know what?
Bring it on.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It really is. It's a beautiful time of year.
Baseball time.
It is, yeah. But it brings with it pollen.
Pollen and bees. And
allergies and all of those things.
We can work around that, I guess.
Well, here he is. We have the king bee, and he is going to deliver tonight's news. So this should be interesting.
Let's hear it.
I can't wait. All right. I am Dan.
And I am Faith.
We will see you on the other side. All right. Are you ready for the news? Let me hear you say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you feeling all right? Let me hear you say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's everybody. Here's all the news. That's Jive from the Hive. My old lady done found me wanting to make honey with another old lady, and she told me to beehive myself. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think she means business. Hey, I just got a new haircut. You like it? It's a buzz cut. Let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. All right. We took a little vote around the Hive to see who the favorite musical acts are. Here's the winners in order. The Bee Gees, the Zombies, and Sting. All right. Here's a word of advice for the youngsters. Just be yourself.
Hold on. Stop the music. This isn't news. It's just a lot of bad bee puns.
Mama, you take me as I am, or you just let me be. That's all the news. That's Jive from the Hive. I'm gonna buzz for a little while. A buzz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Late Night Fright Horror and Sci-Fi Podcast. I am Dan.
And I am Faith.
You know, Darren McGavin was in the movie Billy Madison, starring Adam Sandler. There's a very famous line from that movie that Jim Downey says right at the end when they're doing the academic decathlon and they get to the final answers. And he says, you know, I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul. We're all dumber having heard that. And I feel that way about the news.
Yes.
I feel that we're all dumber having heard that. It all goes back to Billy
Madison.
Was it
even news? Madison. It wasn't
news. Well, you called him out on it. It was just a bunch of bad bee puns. And for some reason, he sounds an awful lot like me. I have no reason. I have no idea why.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. The King Bee. You're brothers, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. The King Bee. So there you go. Bad bee puns. Hey. Do you know where bees like to vacation?
Where?
Singapore.
Oh my God.
There you go. You thought it was over. It's not. It's never over here on the Late Night Fright. This show is almost over, but it's never over here on the Late Night Fright. The Night Stalker, great movie. Not only is this a great movie, I was thinking about this during the break. It's a cool movie.
It is.
This is cool. A cool movie. Let's talk real quick before we close up shop here. What do you think about his outfit? What do you think about that seersucker suit and that hat?
It's something for sure.
Really fits that character, doesn't it? It's so good. I think there's some interesting things that play really well today in it. You know, they were playing really well then, and I think they're playing even better today. I think there's an anti-authoritarian streak in this movie, and rightfully so. And
we seem to talk about that a lot here.
We seem to talk about that a lot here, and I wasn't looking for it. It was just, it's there.
You know, pops up, you know?
It's there. It pops up. You know, they say your focus determines your reality.
There you go.
I think that's a Zen thing, or it might be a Jedi thing. I don't know. It's one or the other. Well, real quickly before we close up shop, this has nothing to do with the Night Stalker, but Obi-Wan Kenobi's getting his own TV show. Speaking of the Jedi, we saw the trailer. We're going to check that out. Possibly might do that on the show. We're not sure yet.
We shall see.
And we mentioned it last week. We are still watching Winning Time, the rise of the Los Angeles Lakers dynasty in the 1980s. And if you're not watching this, you really need to get on this, because this is one of the better shows I've seen recently.
Mm-hmm,
and it's got a really great cast led by John C. Reilly. If you've seen the movie The Big Short, you're going to be familiar with the style that they're employing here, where the characters are breaking the fourth wall and talking directly to you, the audience. And it really helps, especially if you don't know anything about the history of this and that franchise. And I can't say enough good things about Winning Time. Check it out. I know this is a horror sci-fi podcast. Doesn't matter. This is just great television. And Adrian Brody is playing Pat Riley, and he's off the chain.
It's
but
amazing.
I'll tell you, the winner for me right now is Jason Clarke playing Jerry West. This is one of the more tragic and hilarious performances I've ever seen. There's some really great stuff going on in this.
Yeah,
check out Winning Time.
I think I said last week, the only thing I hate about it is that we started from the beginning, and
I didn't drop them all at one time.
I want to see them all right now.
Me too. And that's a great history. If you don't know the history of the Lakers and Celtics rivalry, especially if you're a fan of the NBA and don't know that history, those two gentlemen really brought the NBA to the prominence that it enjoys today. A lot of people will say it was Michael Jordan. No, it was Magic and Larry. They were there first. And 8 of the 10 titles in the 80s were won by the Lakers and Celtics. So let that sink in.
That's crazy.
That's only one more title than Tom Brady has. But he's coming back, so
he is.
So we'll see. He says he's got unfinished business.
Yeah.
He wants eight. He wants eight.
We'll see about it.
He's gonna try and get 10. Good for him. Rightfully so. So check that out. We don't talk sports or anything here on the show, but it's really just great television. So check that out. And like I said, we saw the preview. Speaking of the Jedi for Obi-Wan Kenobi, intrigued. We'll see what they do. We might possibly do that on the show here. So we'll figure that out. So, well, we are almost done here. We would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We sincerely appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. It's great to have you here with us for this conversation. We hope that you're doing great wherever you are. We hope that you're happy and healthy and sane, tuning out the noise and pursuing the truth wherever you are. We have a surprise. We're gonna drop in 2 days. We're gonna do The Night Strangler.
Yes,
from 1973. Movie that's only 49 years old.
Surprise. We told you that last week, but surprise.
Yeah. You should all be listening to the show. You should know your homework. So, well, at the time of this recording, you have two days to watch The Night Strangler. It's just as good as The Night Stalker.
It is.
Possibly better. We'll get into that in the next episode. But thank you all for tuning in. We do hope that you have a great week, great month. Well, depending on whenever you listen to this, it doesn't matter. Isn't that weird? They could be listening to this in the future.
Oh, I never thought about that.
What if this show causes a causality loop, like Back to the Future or Terminator?
Right.
Weird.
I never thought about that.
Weird. Wow. We could be ripping apart the very fabric of the space-time continuum right now.
Maybe so.
We will use this power for good. All right. Thank you very much. So stay tuned for The Night Strangler. Not too far in the not too far distant future or past, depending on when you're listening.
Exactly.
All right, here we go, as is custom. Let's see if we snap our fingers. Can we make the magic happen? Are you ready, Faith?
I'm ready.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Well, there it is.
Time to say goodbye.
Time to say goodbye. Faith, let's just get right to it. Take us home.
Well, okay. May your coffin be cozy and your sarcophagus warm.
May the light of the moon keep you safe from harm.
Be you vampire, spook, specter, or beast.
Always remember, keep your monster on a leash. The Night Strangler is up next. We will see you on the other side.